With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello there, boys and girls, and welcome to another live episode of Circling the Bases, proudly a part of NBC Sports Edge. I'm your host, Colin Henderson. Joining me today, as always, Mr. Christopher Crawford. Chris, we're almost at football season, but the real season's about to begin, wedding season. I don't know if you're as screwed as I am, but I've got like 19 COVID backup weddings coming up in the next 3 months. I'm exaggerating ever so slightly on that 19 number, but not by a lot. And yeah, it's going down.
I'm too old for wedding season now, like most of my friends and stuff. But this Saturday, I do have to go to a wedding reception for a wedding that actually I officiated back in June of last year. So that'll be kind of fun.
An officiant?
Yeah, I got registered. I married my. What's funny is the joke I made is that on Twitter that I wrote that I married my cousin, and I probably should have provided a little more context to that.
That sounds exactly right. Let's leave it right there. That's how that should go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Good to know. I mean, I haven't started my wedding prep yet, but Chris, know that you're
I would love to do that. We could record a podcast like before the wedding and then I could officiate it.
Oh, yeah. My fiance would have no problem with that.
We haven't met yet, but I already know that she's okay with it.
That's right. I will look so nice in my little suit while doing the show. I'll finally make this show look professional for the first time it ever really exists.
Yes, that's true for sure.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about a bunch of different topics. We're going to focus on DeGrom still remaining in limbo after his doctor's appointment yesterday. The surging Yanks get some players back. Love to see that on my end. And we'll talk about some of the hottest hitters in the game right now, current, and see if we can keep that up. And then finally, we'll spend the second half of the show kind of searching through some of the waiver wires to find some starting pitchers that can help you get to the finish line at the end of the season. Players owned or rostered in less than 50% of leagues. So make sure you tune in to that in the second half of the episode. If you want to ever type in something and you're watching us live, please write in any type of comments, whether you're on our YouTube or Twitch channel. We'd love to involve you in the conversation, especially if you need any help down the stretch. But first, before we get to all of that good stuff, I don't know if you're a wrestling fan out there, Chris, but for those of you watching and listening, don't miss a very special guest this Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern on A Good Football Show right here on NBC Sports Edge. Two-time WWE champion The Miz will take a break from crushing some skulls and will join Pat Doherty and the guys to discuss his beloved Browns, who he's high on this year in fantasy, and preview SummerSlam that airs exclusively on Peacock Sunday night. Again, that's this Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern on A Good Football Show. So make sure you are tuned in for that.
So I'm not a wrestling fan, but I am a huge fan of The Real World, and that season was excellent. So I will be making sure – I will be sliding into RotoPat's DMs to make sure he asks about The Real World back to New York, because that's – I mean, it's so silly that I watched that stuff, but that was like one of the best seasons like ever. And so I hope hope
we all have our fixes. We all have our fixes elsewhere. No judgments here. I got very into Dance Moms for 2 years with my ex girlfriend. Okay, there's no judgments whatsoever going on here.
Whatsoever.
trying not to judge the Mets right now, or at least this entire situation with Jacob DeGrom, because we're still sitting here with our shoulders up, going, "Are we gonna see you again at some point this year?" For a guy who was trying to touch Bob Gibson's number for the first half of the year, obviously DeGrom still without a timeline to return after meeting with doctors on Monday. The doctor said that DeGrom's shoulder inflammation is quote improving, but he is still shut down into next week. Mets still hope to have him back by the end of this year, but you push him to just play this out in terms of how fast can you get back. We can't even resume throwing until another test goes down at some point next week. By the time he would have to start throwing on live ground, start throwing BP, start going to rehab assignments, at least 2 to 3 of them to build up his arm strength to get back. I mean, we're talking about a return sometime in mid to late September at earliest.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff up in the air still when it comes to Jacob DeGrom's return. Mets currently in a stretch right now of 13 straight games against the Dodgers and the Giants, which is lunacy, by the way. The idea that you have 13 straight games against two teams with a winning record over 600.
Yeah.
But, and they're currently 0-4 in the first 4 games of that 13 game stretch. So the Mets have now fallen to 3.5 back in the National League East. And really, the next 9 games could determine whether or not they decide to shut Jacob DeGrom down or if they try and, you know, steadily move him back to get back before the end of the season.
Yeah, this is a really precarious situation and it stinks because, like you were talking about earlier, I mean, this guy was so flippin' dominant, like as dominant as any pitcher I've ever seen. And I'm just telling you, man, shoulder stuff, it's just different. There is, like, elbow stuff is obviously bad with pitchers. Any injury is bad for a pitcher, and they happen a lot, and that's why sometimes it's very risky to take a pitcher high, because it just takes one little thing to kind of screw everything up. But man, this is such a tough situation for the Mets, because, like, their only chance of making the postseason is a healthy Jacob DeGrom. I realize he can only pitch 1 out of every 5 games if you were really pushing things, and you're certainly not going to do this now that he's injured.
Yeah.
You could go three-day rest. You're certainly not doing that now.
No.
Like, he is their hope. He is their Obi-Wan Kenobi. He is such an important part, and it's so hard on fantasy. Like, you have to hold him, because Jacob DeGrom is the type of guy who can literally not – very few guys can actually win you a week. Jacob DeGrom can literally win you a week with his starts. He is capable of doing that 6-inning, 13 strikeout, no run things. Those are common for Jacob DeGrom. That is been the baseline stat for him this year. So, like, it's just such a tough situation, and I want to see him on the mound so bad, but at the same time, I want to see Jacob DeGrom at his best, and I really, really hope the Mets don't rush him back.
I know that you hope that the Mets don't rush him back, but I mean, if you're taking hope and wishing and all that aside,
yeah,
I'm starting to genuinely wonder if we're going to see DeGrom again this year. Now, 100%. When you talk about from a fantasy perspective, like you said, few guys have the impact that he does. Until I hear an official out for season moniker next to him, I'm going to hold on to him. I have shares of DeGrom in multiple leagues. I'm holding on to him, and I have too many guys on the IL right now, and I'm still holding on to him just because, you know what, even if he comes back for 2 to 3 starts at the end of the year, those 2 to 3 starts might be, you know, 7 innings of no runs, 12 strikeouts. I mean, like, that is how good he can be. If you are in a league where, you know, the season's ended for you a couple weeks ago, and, you know, like, you, there's no way you're coming back on this front. You've got Jacob DeGrom. Sure, you can drop him. And, you know, if you really wanted to, you could go elsewhere. But if you are a competitive team right now who's potentially looking at a title, you got to hold on to him a little longer, because you know what? Those 2 to 3 starts at the end of the year are going to be in fantasy playoff time. And if you have a healthy, or at least somewhat healthy, Jacob DeGrom on the mound, that's what you want when you're in the playoffs.
Okay, so here's a question for you that just kind of came to my head. Let's say you were in a keeper league, and let's say somebody who can't keep Jacob deGrom decides to drop him. And it's a defensible thing. I mean, if you can't keep him and you want to add somebody that you can keep next year, it makes sense to make that move. But let's say they do that, and let's say you're a contending team, and let's say you're doing the fab system. How much of your fab would you be willing to spend to get Jacob deGrom on your roster?
I hate the fab conversations are so minefield because I don't know everyone's fab stuff. But like, I mean, I assume at this point in the season, it's going to be genuinely difficult for you to find a genuine game changer on the waiver wire. Like, we're going to talk about a bunch of great pitchers, young pitchers in the second half of the show who are owned in less than 50% or rostered in less than 50% of leagues and can come back. Like, those guys can do a lot. But are they game changers the way that Jacob deGrom is? No. Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to put 20 to 25% of my fab remaining in there to go grab deGrom just on the hopes that I can get him back. Like, if I think I can genuinely make a run towards a title, that's a guy that can do it for me. Whereas, you know, spot starters here or there are not going to do it. And you know what? If I miss out on a Josiah Gray, but I can get deGrom for three starts at the back end, I'm willing to do that more. So if I'm living in a, draft like that, or in a league like that, I think I'm going and spending about 20 to 25% of my fab on deGrom. Get him on the roster and cross your fingers and hope and pray.
That's interesting. I would say, so I'm a little bit different because I actually hate fab. I like waiver wire. I think it is the best way to go about doing things. Part of it is just me being
baseball,
selfish.
Baseball, yes. Baseball, yes. Football, no. Football should always be fab.
So in football, if I can trade my fab, I do it every year. Because I really believe that I can find people on the waiver wire without having to spend that cash to be able to do it. Now, I can't do that if it's only fab, and I hate leagues like that. If I'm playing in that league, I think at this point in the season, what do we got, like 45 games left, something like that,
yeah,
give or take?
Right around that.
I think that you can justify spending every dollar of that fab at this point. Because like Jacob deGrom has that chance, if he comes back, to literally win you the league. I mean, I know we use that. I use the word literally too much.
I literally use it too much.
But it's just, he's such a special arm. It's huge risk because I would say at this point there is a 50-50 chance and maybe even higher that we don't see Jacob deGrom again this year. But even if you only get three starts out of him, and that's what I would guess right now, is he comes back at some point in mid-September and you get three starts out of Jacob deGrom. Those three starts can be so beneficial to you, but it's really tough. I do not envy anyone who is in the position of rostering Jacob deGrom right now because there's so much volatility right now.
Yeah, it's tough. The only reason why I say 20-25% is A, I assume that half the league or at least a third of your league is out by now just by the time the way this is. So I'm competing against less teams.
Sure,
and
there you go.
You're like 60-40. He might not play again this year. It means I don't want to blow up the entire amount of money I have left just on the chance. So that's the only reason why I hedge it. Look, if someone ends up spending all of their fab on deGrom, kudos to you. And you know what? Good luck to you. But
yeah,
I'll pick apart the rest of the league knowing that you just blew your bank account open.
And then real quick, just to close that, I do understand too, it does make sense to kind of save some cash for some prospects who could get September call-ups. Like the chance that you could get some Bobby Witts, some Adley Rutschman, some Hunter Green, that type of thing. No guarantee any of these guys are coming up, but it is kind of nice to save a few shekels just in case. But yeah, Jacob deGrom, I hope you're okay, and I really hope we see you again. But if not, I look forward to watching you in 2022.
Yeah, especially if you're in a keeper league, like you said there, Chris. If any of those guys could potentially come up and you have the ability, keep a couple bucks in the bank just in case. Let's talk about the Yankees. My Yankees, who are just crushing right now, 11-3 in their last 14, and they're getting healthy, which is the important part for fantasy managers. Gerrit Cole came back on Monday yesterday and pitched a great game against the Angels, only gave up one run on a solo shot in the first, hit 100 on the gun, struck out 9. He looked great, which is nice. Honestly, I'm all in on Gerrit Cole for the rest of the year. Obviously that he's Gerrit Cole, but like, I think he needed a little bit of like a break after getting just under the microscope for like the last 3 months. I think honestly, just getting out of the limelight for a hot second and being able to hopefully just reset. I'm hoping that that kind of kicks him into gear and turns him back into Gerrit Cole again from now to the end of the year. Whereas just kind of, I mean, we've watched enough players just grind and grind and grind and never had that chance to like take a deep breath, relax for a second, and then do what they do best. So I'm kind of hoping for that from him. Jordan Montgomery came back and pitched the first game of the Yankees-Red Sox doubleheader today. He gave up 3 earned across 4 2/3, but struck out 6. Honestly, he looked fine. Gary Sanchez returned to the lineup for game 1 of that doubleheader as well. He went over 3 with a strikeout, but he's finally back in the lineup, which is great for managers who have been rostering him throughout his COVID IL. All 3 of these guys were COVID people. So all of them coming back. And Anthony Rizzo also on the COVID list, hopefully back in about 48 to 72 hours with the big league club. Yankees could use him as well. So a lot of positives for the Yankees and also a lot of positives for fantasy managers who have rostered all of these guys and hung on to them while they've been out for at least 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, I know Aaron Boone gets a lot of flack. I think he deserves a lot of credit for keeping this thing going and keeping this thing afloat.
No question. Because
a lot of teams, I think, would have fallen apart with the just sheer amount of injuries, you know, some of it self-caused and some of it not, but mm-hmm. just the sheer amount of stuff that has gone on there for them to be in the position they are. It's really impressive. Speaking of really impressive, Luis Gil is on the mound right now just through a scoreless inning, has yet to give up an earned run. I think it's interesting. I think we were both realistically cautiously optimistic about him in that first start. And of course, he dominated, and that's how it looks. But I will say, I did predict in our prediction show that the Yankees would make the playoffs. And I'm feeling pretty good about that right now because, like, look, there was so much bad luck, not just with the injury stuff, but just on the field. Like, so many one-run losses and so many guys who just weren't quite playing up to their potential yet. And there's still some guys who aren't playing up to that potential just yet as well. But this roster was just way too good. If I could make a bet on the Yankees winning the World Series, I think I would.
Well, I put a preseason bet on Yankees to win the American League East. So
nice.
Come on, guys, help a brother out here. But the Yankees right now, 1 game back in the wild card. Like I said, 11-3 in the last 14, and that includes that crushing yet thrilling Field of Dreams game that they both could have lost, then should have won, then lost. So there's a lot of great things going for them. And then we also should mention Corey Kluber pitching tonight in AAA Scranton. His first rehab outing was last Thursday, where he threw 45 pitches. After this one, he'll probably need another start, if not 2, before coming back. But him, Corey Kluber potentially rejoining this rotation, another huge piece as the Yankees look to try and not only make a wild card spot, but also 5 games back from the Rays in the East and the final 3 games of the year, Yankees versus Tampa Bay. So that is going to be thrilling baseball to watch. Hopefully the division is still up for grabs entering that final stretch.
For sure. Yeah. Kluber's a really good call. He looked pretty solid for the most part, I thought, before this injury. An awful lot of risk there, but certainly I can see some streaming value there.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, I think he's still rostered in, I think, 72% of leagues. So people have held on to him for this whole duration. There are a lot of managers out there that are just eagerly anticipating his return. I mean, the guy throws a no-hitter and then immediately goes on this 60-day IL. It's hard to drop somebody with the pedigree and the current performance that he was putting on back then.
Yeah.
Manager still holding on to him. Hopefully they are rewarded before the end of the year.
For sure.
And speaking of players who are rewarding their current teams, let's talk about 3 major performances from 3 major hitters that are currently just streaking right now. Matt Chapman, CJ Cron, and Chris Bryant. All 3 of these guys just hitting the cover off the ball right now. Chapman, 474 with 4 homers and 6 RBIs in his last 6 games. CJ Cron, 439 with 6 homers and 21 RBIs and 11 runs scored in his last 12 games. Chris Bryant, since putting on Giants uniform, has looked stellar, hitting 321 with 3 homers, 8 ribbies, and 10 runs scored in the 15 games since coming over to San Fran. All 3 of these guys mashing, all 3 of them with eerily kind of similar overall stats. Chapman hurt me a little bit more in the batting average category. Bryant giving you a little bit more with the home runs. CJ Cron with the most RBIs in this group. Chris, all three of these players have the ability to, you know, take over your team and carry it for a spell. Of these three guys, which one of these hot streaks do you believe in the most moving forward into the rest of the season?
I believe in Bryant the most for a couple of reasons. One, I think he's the best player of the three. Now, for fantasy anyway, Matt Chapman is a better real life player because his defense at third base it's exceptional. All due respect to
that catch last week was nuts. We haven't had a chance to talk about that yet.
he is just a special defensive player. But look, I love Chris Bryant's bat. I think he's the best hitter, pure hitter of the three. I also love that lineup. Like, the San Francisco Giants are going to give him a chance to drive in runs. The Giants, it's time to take him for real if you're not taking him real now. Like, this is a legitimately good baseball team. I like Chapman. I still think he's a better real-life player than a fantasy one. And Cron, the only reason why I rank him a little bit lower is just because of the roster thing. You're stuck with him at first base, and, you know, there's a lot of first base options out there. But you have to love that ballpark. I mean, the fact that he gets to play his home games, but this guy can hit anywhere. Like, he was hitting, putting up good numbers in Detroit. He's had some solid seasons with Minnesota and a little bit with the Angels as well. There's a lot to like about Cron. If he's still available, I'm absolutely rostering him. It's just the fact you can play Chris Bryant at a few different positions, and I think he's the best hitter, he's the one I believe in the most of those three.
Ninth hardest remaining schedule, the Giants from now to the end of the year. Oakland, the second hardest schedule from now to the end of the year. Colorado, the 18th hardest schedule from now to the end of the year. So just a little piece in there as well. I agree with you. I'd probably rank them in maybe that, or I think I'd probably go Bryant, Cron, Chapman, just because Chapman is just, he's just strikes out too much. Second most strikeouts in the game behind Joey Gallo. Sure. Right now, he's, since August started, he's cut it down to one a game, but that's impressive in its own right. But that's the small end of the scale than the normal end of it. So Chapman can just be a guy who in a week can go 1 for 21 with 12 strikeouts, 13 strikeouts, and just destroy you. So give me Bryant, Cron, and Chapman in that order. But I mean, Cron, just the way that he's hitting right now, and like you said, playing in Coors.
So hot,
and just so high up there. It just makes it so easy for him. Rooting for him for the end of the year. I've got some shares of him on some teams.
Nice.
With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Fantasy football season, by the way, right around the corner, so make sure you guys are all signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Signing up for Edge Plus gets you access to our fantasy football, basketball, and hockey sections, in addition to our incredible baseball content. As a reward for our listeners, be sure to use the promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription package, either monthly or annually, regardless of tier. So to find your edge, make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. The promo code again is BASES10. And exciting news here at NBC. For the first time in history, the two biggest sporting events on the planet unite with the Super Bowl and the Winter Olympics on NBC this February. So go to NBCSports.com/once-in-a-lifetime for a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime VIP experience of your choice. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, 18 plus to enter, ends February 4th, subject to official rules. This is my hit the side effects after a after a medicine commercial right here. Sure. But yes, but make sure you are all looking over to NBCSports.com/once-in-a-lifetime. The packages are absolutely nuts. So yeah. Chris and I can't do anything with them because we work for NBC. So please go out there and take advantage of them. Since we can't, and then just send us videos so we can enjoy from afar.
How fun would that be? Like,
yeah, right.
I mean, geez, Louise, that would be an awful lot of fun.
Super Bowl winner Olympics. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's. I'm jealous. I may quit. I may quit and join that contest.
If I win it, I'll quit. Like, that's how this is, that's going to go. Right? Like, just tell me my name's on the board. Great. All right, good. Here's my 2 weeks. Let it ride. Just remember me 6 months from now when I'm begging you to come back.
Sorry, Comcast. We don't actually mean what we say. You have great stuff.
So let's talk about some waiver wire pitchers. There, obviously, at this point in the season, we kind of have a pretty good idea of the big names out there, whether they are good, bad, or past their prime. Pour one out for Cole Hamels. We knew you all too soon. That was both in and out. Side note, I did not ask the question. I was looking for this and I could not find the answer. Does he get the full million that he signed for?
I think so.
I think he gets the full million he signs for, right?
Yeah. There's probably some sort of prorated stuff in the contract where maybe it certainly counts towards the CBA, like their luxury tax stuff. But in terms of what he actually – baseball contracts are guaranteed. So, like, I'm pretty sure he gets everything. Good for Cole Hamels. It's not like he really needed it. One, he's made many millions. And two, just about as handsome a pitcher as you can get. So I'm a little jealous of his life going on. But a bummer because I was looking forward to seeing him pitch. But this is what happens in baseball.
Yep. I mean, again, that's why I think both of us, when we were on the show, last week or the week prior when he was signing, were just like, I don't know what you're going to get from him, but fingers crossed. He's on the Dodgers, so you got a shot.
Yeah.
But now that we are past that point, let's talk about some players, some pitchers specifically, who are widely available in leagues that can help you get to the finish line, whether you're fighting for a postseason spot right now or whether you're looking at a title in the future. So, Chris, I'll start off here, and let's start off with Josiah Gray. The 23-year-old who was traded from the Dodgers to Washington in the Trey Turner / Max Scherzer deal. Yes. I stand by that as the bigger name in this trade. He tossed a quality start against the Braves in his last start, allowing 3 earned and 5 hits, striking out 6. He's been great since coming over to Washington, a 2.81 ERA, a 1.06 whip in 16 innings, and shouts to his curveball because it's been borderline unhittable since he's made the move. 33% whiff rate and a 48% CSW percent on 33 curveballs thrown. I mean, no one's making contact with it right now. It's just incredible. So he is looking for the remainder of the year. Remaining opponents have a sub 500 record overall, rostered in only 35% of Yahoo leagues. Josiah Gray is a guy that if you're in a 12-team or deeper league, he needs to be on a roster. If you're in a 10-team, you can make the conversation that maybe there's other people out there and you can stream them. But in a 12-team or deeper, Josiah Gray needs to be rostered. He has looked excellent, and he's going to get as much leash as he wants with the Nationals as they look to kind of see what they traded for.
Yeah, absolutely. My one caveat there would be, because the Nationals are going nowhere and getting there fast, you do take a little bit of a risk of his arm getting shut down at some point, especially for a pitcher who had an injury thing earlier in the season. Having said that, I do think he needs to be rostered right now. Like, look, he's looked really good. Like, even in that last start, which, you know, 6-inning, 3 runs, nothing to write home about, got 6 ground ball outs, struck out 6, didn't walk anyone. The command is getting better, it seems like, with each start. The start he had before that was the real impressive one, the 10 strikeouts against that Atlanta lineup. He's really good. I mean, I do think he's a better keeper pitcher, and that's an obvious point, is obvious type of thing. But I do think he can definitely help fantasy rosters for the remainder of the season, for sure.
All right, Chris, give us another one that you think, give us another pitcher that you think is needs to be rostered in more leagues.
Okay, so we didn't talk about this before, but he just kind of came up in my name. And it's actually, what's funny is one of our social media guys sent me a message about whether or not he should roster this guy. It's Cal Quantrill of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Like, Cal Quantrill has been outstanding since he got moved into the rotation, and especially as of late. It's worth pointing out this is a former eighth overall pick, a guy who was going to challenge to be the first overall pick before he had surgery at Stanford. Son of Paul Quantrill, if you're feeling old. He's avoided barrels at like an elite rate. And while he doesn't have the same kind of swing and miss stuff as some other guys, Cleveland does a better job with this type of profile than any pitching development system in baseball. And you're starting to really see it. Like, he's got an ERA right now of 3.24. That's super misleading. He's been way better than that. And 3.24 is a solid number.
I was going to say, that's a fine number there.
It's a certainly fine number, but a lot of that is based on some kind of clunkers, and he remembered that he was being used as a multi-inning reliever for a little bit of while, and that can really hurt the ERA because they just leave those guys in, especially if they're the other team isn't winning. But Cal Quantrill is a guy, I don't have the number in front of me of how much he's rostered right now, but if he's still available, like, he can be a huge helper for the remainder of 2021.
I'm looking up Quantrill now as I look up his rostered. He is rostered in, come on, internet. He is rostered in 65% of leagues. So slightly over the threshold, but again, 65 is still too small.
65 is still too small. Yeah,
I mean, he's looked excellent. And again, we talked about it when he got traded over to Cleveland, was like, this is the best spot for him to possibly land, maybe outside of Tampa Bay, in terms of a franchise that has taken good quality pitchers and turn them into genuine starting pitchers in the major leagues. Like, this is someone who has reached another level, and I'm excited to see where he goes from here. And again, like Gray and like a lot of these other players we're going to name on this list, the rest of this year is just a tryout for them. Like, this is strictly a tryout into 2022 in terms of, all right, what do we have? What can we work on? And where do you see yourself next year? And when you have someone who's motivated, even if they're on a bad team, if they're motivated, that is huge from now to the end of the year, because we're motivated as managers and we want to make sure that you have someone out there who's doing the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is big times for these pitchers. It is a chance to earn that spot, especially for some of these guys who are pitching for teams, you know, that are like the Washington Nationals, who are going nowhere, getting there fast, like Cleveland, who is very unlikely to be headed to the postseason. Like, this is almost like a real life spring training, like a spring training that counts. This is a chance to really audition for that roster. And those are guys, look, it can be a negative too. Sometimes these guys overthrow and have a bad start, and they're thinking too much into it. It's tough to prove that. It's all subjective, but it is big. I think that's a really good point.
Let's talk about someone else who's improving and is really just auditioning for next year because he's looked excellent. Tristan McKenzie, talk it up to sticks over here. The 24-year-old for Cleveland, rostered in 47% of Yahoo leagues. He was unbelievable on Sunday. Took a perfect game into the eighth inning against Detroit. He struck out 11, which was a career high. Only gave up one hit. In his last five outings, McKenzie is 1-1 with a 3.77 ERA while throwing four quality starts. He's also pitching deeper into games. He's pitched at least six innings in five of his last seven. In his prior 11 games, he had not gone deeper than 5 1/3. So they are giving him more of a leash later into games, and he's taking advantage of it. Since the start of July, one of the biggest issues for McKenzie, especially at the beginning of the year when he was struggling, was walking players. He was walking over three people per game dating back to the start of the year, from April through June. Since the start of July, he's only had one game where he's issued more than one walk. Everything else is, he has limited the walks. And honestly, that was the biggest thing that was holding him back. We see the strikeout stuff, but if you continue to put people on base and have to pitch from the stretch, you're just asking for something bad to happen. He has limited that. He has looked excellent since. And honestly, McKenzie is a guy who should be rostered, like I said, just like Gray, 12 teams and over, needs to be on every single team, needs to be in every single league. And in 10-team leagues, he's fighting for a spot real quickly that like he deserves to be on rosters there.
Yeah, I think the thing with McKenzie is like we saw what he could do in 2020.
Exactly.
Like he was absolutely sensational during those starts. I would just say this. If he's facing the White Sox or if he's facing like the Rays,
sure,
probably don't have him in your pitching lineup. But he's going to get a chance to pitch against some awful, and I mean awful, AL Central lineups. The AL Central is so flipping bad. And like, look, the White Sox are the Tigers are better than everybody thought. A lot of that, I think, is just they've just beaten up on some really bad baseball teams. And they are somebody that I'm absolutely streaming against because they strike out a ton, like absolutely a ton. And you saw it in that 8 innings of one hit baseball with 11 strikeouts, like you mentioned. I mean, there is risk with McKenzie. Like you said, there have been times where the command has gotten away from him. The thing I worry about the most with him long term is the fact that he weighs about 118 pounds. They list him at 165. There is no way in hell that he's 165 pounds.
That's cute. That's not, 165 is cute. Yeah, yeah. That's just not true.
There is a reason why they call him Sticks. Yeah. But man,
and Maurice Jones-Drew was 5'10" or whatever on there. No, he wasn't. He was 5'4".
Yeah, just like Nick, I think they say Nick Madrigal is 5'8", and there's just absolutely no chance at all. But yeah, McKenzie's stuff is filthy, and when he's at his best and repeating his delivery, he throws a ton of strikes. One of the reasons why he was so highly ranked coming out of high school was the fact that, you know, there was projection, obviously, because of his wafer-thin body, but also the fact that he repeated his delivery and he threw strikes with his stuff. So yeah, I admit that there's more volatility with him than Quantrill and Gray, but there's just as much ceiling with that arm as well. I think he is an absolute must roster.
All right, Chris, give me another one here.
Let's see, taking a look. So why don't you give me one? Because my my internet just froze on me.
Colin. All right, that's what I'm here for. Let's go with Elisar Hernandez here, the 26-year-old from Miami, like rostered in 52% of Yahoo leagues, so just over the threshold, rostered in half of that in ESPN leagues. He looked good on Sunday. He went 5 1/3 of one run ball against the Cubs in 9 starts dating back to the beginning of last season. He's posted a 3.05 ERA, 0.94 whip, and a 47-6 K walk ratio over 38 frames. I know that's only 9 starts, right. So it's a small sample size. Unfortunately, the reason why it's such a small sample size is because health has been an issue for him. A bicep injury at the beginning of the season cost him 2 months of action. And then he came back, and in his first start from the IL, strained his quad and needed another 10 weeks to recover. So there is, like you say, volatility in this conversation. But when he's been healthy and on a mound, he looks really good. And he was one of those guys that we came into this year raving about the Marlins rotation, going like, that rotation like could be really good. I'm not sure they're going to get a ton of wins, but they're going to be really good. Hernandez looks like he could be a guy, especially one without any type of innings limit, without anyone who has already racked up 100 innings so far this year. Like, he should have a pretty clear go till the end of the year on a team that, you know, is still plucky. And better yet, opponents, they have a sub 500 record across all remaining opponents throughout the year. So he is going to, more likely than not, go up against weaker competition that you can either add full time or you can stream. Either way, I think Hernandez is a great arm to target when you're looking at kind of what is a quality start that I can look at moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But my concern there is kind of twofold. It's the fact that, one, Marlins probably not going to give a ton of win chances. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, and then the other concern would be because he missed so much time. I believe he's made 3 starts this year. I would say that there is a chance for a shutdown there. Since we're talking about the Marlins, I'll give you a guy that I would consider rostering now and a guy that I just flat out wouldn't roster. Let's start with the wouldn't roster right now. I hate saying it. Hazel Cesardo isn't usable for the rest of the year.
And it crushes me.
I hate it. Like, look, long term, still a big believer in Jesus Lizardo, but there is clearly stuff that needs to be worked out here. I need to study a little bit more of the film, but mechanically, he doesn't look quite the same. The command is nowhere close to where it was when I was recording videos for Yahoo and basically saying the same thing I'm saying right now. He's walked 11 guys in the last 13 innings. That is not Jesus Lizardo whatsoever. No. This is a guy. But on the flip side of that, Edward Cabrera is a guy that I would be taking a look at adding right now. In his last three starts in AAA, he has struck out 12, 11, and 12. And a lot of people think that as good as the Marlins pitching stuff is, with guys like Sixto Hernandez and Max Meyer and a whole plethora of other guys, they think this is the guy with the highest upside. This is a 6'5 pitcher who has absolutely filthy stuff. Now, the only question mark here is whether the Marlins are going to give him that chance. I want to see what I have in Edward Cabrera, give him maybe some starts in September and make that transition a little bit easier because he's going to be a part of that rotation next year. But if and when Edward Cabrera gets that chance, oh, he's a must add. I would say the same thing for Hunter Green. We need to see if Hunter Green's shoulder is going to be okay. Again, shoulders, man. Just let's figure out a way to just get rid of shoulders. Come on, let's go. Let's figure out the way that we can just throw the baseball without involving him somehow. But like, look, both of those guys, because of their ability to miss bats, are guys that I am adding as soon as possible if they get that chance.
I agree with both of those. It kills me that Lizardo is doing what he is. I invested so highly in him this year, thinking this was a breakout year in a bunch of leagues, and I have had to eat crow ever since. But I completely agree with you about Cabrera. I've watched some of his tape. The guy looks just really good. I'm hoping that he gets a September call-up. If he does, he is absolutely an arm that I want to grab. He's going to rack up strikeouts. Again, you worry that start coming into the league, quick hook, all those normal things. But even if you were only pitched five innings, he might get you eight strikeouts in those five innings, and that's still worth it in every stretch.
Yeah, and the other name that I would add now that I'm thinking about it too is Shane Baz, a guy for the Tampa Bay Rays. Something like an 85 to 10 strikeout to walk ratio, which is just absolutely stupid. And that's actually – he had a couple of games where he walked a couple that hurt that number overall. But a guy with four pitches that can miss bats, I think Tampa Bay is going to give him a chance. They should anyway. I mean, Tampa Bay is a very good baseball team, but I don't trust very many of those starters. I would absolutely see what I have in Shane Baz. And even if he's a bulk guy who's like throwing two and a third innings after an opener like a Colin McHugh, you're still getting a chance to get strikeouts and you're still getting a chance to get the win. Shane Baz is somebody that I think could be really helpful if and when he gets that chance.
Yeah, biggest issue with him, and the same way we talked about McClanahan last week, is that he's going to be a Ray, which means that you're just not going to get a lot of length out of him. This is
limited.
We don't trust maybe particular any one pitcher, but you trust the sum is greater than the parts, or parts are greater than the sum, whatever the version of that is. I mean, that's essentially what Tampa Bay is. Like, that pitching staff is great. There isn't exactly one person that I'm handing the ball off to in a one game playoff that I feel unbelievably confident about, but I know that they could probably go nine pitchers in a nine inning game and probably give up one run. So that's just the way that team is built.
C'est la vie. That's just the way baseball is going. And it's, it makes the guys who aren't doing that even more valuable, but it's definitely something you have to be cognizant of.
Yeah. Quick rapid fire. Tanner Houck for Boston, the 25-year-old, has looked really good. Right-handed Chris Sale, let him run. 3.12 ERA, 1.13 whip, 7 walks, and 46 strikeouts through 34 and two-thirds innings. He's looked really good. He's rostered in 34% of leagues. David Price, look, we keep talking about a bunch of young guys. Let's give a vet a nod. He is stretched out and he's pitching for the Dodgers. And until someone tells me otherwise, he's going to be out there every five games. So if you tell me I have someone of his caliber who's now stretched out enough to get wins on probably baseball's best team, give me that. David Price is a guy who people are overlooking. I think now he's someone who could be on rosters. And then for your Mariners, Tyler Anderson has looked good. He is another guy I think out there that if you are, again, we're kind of getting to the second tier here, but Tyler Anderson has looked good. Another guy who I think could potentially help you out down the stretch. They have a pretty nice schedule till the end of the year. He's someone that I would also target late as well.
Tyler Anderson calls a good one, especially for people who are playing quality start leagues. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get five innings or two runs or six innings of three runs. Unfortunately, 5-2 doesn't give you that quality start. But that's pretty much what Tyler Anderson does. It's what he's done now for basically his entire career. So it's not sexy, but it is somebody who can help.
All right. Well, that just about finishes up our show for today. If you like what you're hearing, please make sure you are subscribed to Circling the Bases wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate and review us. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Don't Lie, and you can follow Chris at Crawford_MILB. Be sure to tune back in tomorrow as Chris invites Eric Nussbaum onto the pod to discuss his new best-selling book, Stealing Home. So make sure you don't miss it. So until then, stay safe out there. And as always, thanks for listening.
I love you, Dom Smith, but we got to start hitting.
With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last. Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.